Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf pevav. Today's daf has been dedicated in memory of Avraham ben Sarah. Today's daf is being studied in honor of and refuah shelema of Leah bat Esther. El narefanala betoch shar cholei Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat hacham baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden. Amen. We start today on Pehe Amud Bet, way up in the middle of the daf at the Mishnah. Hanoten et erubo bebet sha'ar. Achsadra umarpeset eno eruv. Talking about now you have a chatzer. So you need to make an eruv in the chatzer. So the rule is you have to place the eruv in a place of residence. However, if the place that you put it is not a resident, a residence, so then already the eruv is not valid. So the Mishnah gives us some examples of areas that would not be considered residents. So the Gemara Mishnah gives the first case. Hanotin et erubo bebet sha'ar. Bet sha'ar, if you look at your picture books at 290, that's the picture on the left, that's like the little vestibule in front of a house. Protrudes a foyer that comes out of the house. So since people do not dwell in that Bet Sha'ar, right, it's an area where people, walk through, so the Eruv is not good. Achsadra, that would be the picture on the right. That's like an awning or a canopy, like made out of wood. It doesn't have walls, it just has a roof. Umarpeset. Umarpeset we've been learning as a gallery, like a little area, like a porch. In Eruv, right? So the basic principle in all these cases is that it's not a place where people dwell. Rashi says, okay, and she just says, et erubo, it'll be hatzerot we're talking about. The Mishnah continues, v'hadar sham, anybody that lives in these areas, eno oser alav. They are not going to oser the other members of the chatzer, because that dwelling is not a dwelling. So just like you can't put your eruv there for that reason, so somebody that lives there is also not considered the dira to oser on the rest of the bnei chatzer. Now, beta tibin, that's a storage house for straw or hay. Ubeta bakar, we'll call that a barn. Ubeta aitzim, that's a storage house for wood. Ubeta otzrot, well, for that matter, a storage house for other items. Hareze eruv. So in that place, since it's shayach for people to live there, even though somebody's not living there, hareze eruv, you place the eruv in that resident, in that area, in that storage area, it is considered an eruv. The hadar sham osir. Somebody that lives there is osir, meaning if the owner rented out the beta tevin for somebody to live, and he lives in that spot, so that fellow now is osir, the rest of the bnei chatzer, and now he has to be part of the eruv. Let's say one guy owns the whole area. Okay, one guy owns all the houses in the chatzer, so he doesn't have to make an eruv, but he rented it out to this guy, the beta tevin. So now there's another guy in the chatzer over there. So he's osir alav. Now he has to make an eruv. Rashi says, first wide line, v'hadar sham, im ishil ba'al ha'bayit betatevin shelo le'acher ladur sham, if he lent it out, let's say, for somebody to live there, osir alav b'chatzer, hoilu patuach l'chatzer. It is open to the chatzer, this betatevin. So therefore, and since it's considered a area that's shayach for dwelling, so it's osir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh sham tefisat yad shel ba'al ha'bayit eno osir. If the Baal HaBayit, meaning the owner of the homes in the Chatzer, He lent out, let's say, or he rented out the Bet HaTeven, for example, but he kept a tefisa, he kept a hold on it. What's the pshat? He kept a hold on it. He still has rights to keep his stuff there. Which means he tells me, I'm renting you the house, but listen, I'm going to keep my equipment in the house. So as long as you keep your equipment in the house, it's still considered yours. And therefore, since you're the only guy in the Hatzer, you don't have to make any deal with anybody. Because you still have what's called tefisat yad. The Rashi's lashon is, that's the second wide line, im yesham tefisat yad shel ba'al habayit, sheyesh le ba'al habayit makom bedirato shel zeh, shenoten sham kelav le'atzniya. Right? He has a right, so he leaves his kelim there. Eno oser alav Rashi, dechol reshuta da'atzeh dideu. Because the whole area of the Hatzer is his. Ke'ilu dar'aymo be'bayit. And therefore this guy is like he's living by him. He's considered like a guest by him. Because he still has rights to use the house that he rented. So that's the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda bere derav Shmuel bar Shilat. Kol makom she'amru hachamim hadar sham eno oser. Anytime we said that an area that a person lives in is not oser, the rest of the Hatzer. For example, like the kids of our Mishnah that are not residents, so the rule would be hanotinet erubo eno eruv. So then the rule is that if you place the eruv there as well, it's not considered an eruv. Chutz, except for one case, mebet sha'ar de yahid, to a private bet sha'ar. What is a private bet sha'ar? So that she in the Gemara, chutz mebet sha'ar de yahid, the chatzer shel yahid. Which means you have, let's say, a chatzer of a private guy, of one guy, and then you have somebody else that say that lives in there. So therefore, it's really, this area is not traversed by so many people. It's really one guy that lives in the chatzer with somebody else. So in that case, you could put the eruv in the Beit Sha'ar. Because what's the logic why it's not a residence? It's not a residence, the Beit Sha'ar, because everybody has to go through it. So you can't live in an area where everybody's walking through. But if there's one guy living in the Hatzer, so then already, how many people go to? The traffic is not that much. So then it becomes like a quasi-residence. So it'll be enough to put your eruv in there. It's considered a residence. But we're still not going to consider it a residence if somebody's living in there to osir on the rest. So there's a difference between a Beit Sha'ar of Rabim and a Beit Sha'ar of Yahid. Now, second statement. V'chol makom shavro hachem ima nechim bo eruv. Any place that we say that is not good for the Eruv Hatzerot, Menichim bo Shituf. But you can put the Shituf Mevuot. Which means, when it comes to joining the Shituf for the Mavui, or the Hatzerot, you don't have to place the Eruv in the house. You can actually place it in the Hatzer itself. You can leave it in a place that's not a residence. So the rule is, whatever is no good for Eruv Hatzerot is actually good for Shitufe Mevuot. So the Gemara says, Chutz Me'avir Mavui. But you can't put it in the Mavui. The Mavui is not a protected area. And therefore, that's going to be Asur. So the Gemara says, Ma'ikam Ashma Alan. This statement was made by Rav Yehuda Bered Rav Shmuel, Bar Shelat. So the Gemara says, what were you teaching me? All this what you just told me is the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Tanina, Hanotinet Eruvo Bebet Sha'ar, Achsad Lomapeset, Enu Eruv. Didn't the Mishnah say that? That if you put your Eruv HaSerot in those areas, it's not a resident area, it's not an Eruv, meaning it's not an Eruv HaSerot. Eruv Udelo Haveh, HaShituf Haveh. Yeah, it's not an Eruv HaSerot, but it could be a Shituf. And really, both statements of Rav Yehuda ben Rav Shmuel Bar Shelat are superfluous, because you told me that if a person lives there and it's not Oser, so you can't put your Eruv there also. That's the first din of the Mishnah. So what was he coming to teach us? So the Gemara says, Bet Sha'ar di Yahid, Ve'avid de Mavu Yitzarichale, de Lotinan. Right, he was telling you the Chutz cases. He was telling you the case of Bet Sha'ar of Yahid, that what? You can't put the Eruv there. And he was teaching you the Avir of a Mavui, that you can't put the Shituf there. So he was adding something that the Mishnah did not tell us. He gave us the exception cases. Person puts his eruv in a bet sha'ar or an aksadra, umar peset, uba haser, uba mavui. Oh, he puts his eruv in all these places, including the mavui. Hare ze eruv. It is an eruv. Now, if we're talking about erubei chatzerot, the Gemara asked the question. Ve'atenan en ze eruv. So what are you talking about? We learned in all these cases, bechad, aksadra, marpeset, chaser, certainly the mavui. This is not a eruv chatzerot. How can the Braita say it's an eruv? No. Ema hare ze shituf. When I talk about it, when it says eruv, it means shituf for the mavui. So the Gemara says shituf for mavui. Lo mintar. What do you mean? How could you put the shituf in the mavui? It's not protected. Ema b'chaser shebemavui. Yeah, so we're changing everything. It's shituf. And where are you putting it? Not in the mavui. You're putting it in the chaser of the mavui, which is protected. And for that matter, you can put it in the bechar and the aksad and the mapes, because we're talking about shituf. So it's a proof that what? The place that's asur for it will be chaserot is mutar for shituf emivuot. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, b'nei chabura sheyu mesubin. You have a group of guys, let's say, that were sitting on Erev Shabbat. They were eating before Shabbat started. V'kedesh aleihem hayom. And now what happened? Shabbat came. Patsh al ha-shulchan, somchim aleihem mishum eruv. The bread, which obviously now is joined by everybody because they're eating the se'uda, you can use that bread for an eruv. Ve'amri la mishum shituf. And something you can use the bread for, even a shituf mevo'ot. So the Gemara says, Amar Rama ve'la perige. And there's no argument. Sometimes you can use it for eruv, and sometimes you can use it for shituf. How? Kam mesubin bebayit, kam mesubin bechatzer. Depends where they were eating. If they were eating in the house, so then you can use it for eruv bechatzerot, because eruv bechatzerot can only be placed in the resident. If they were eating outside, in the chatzer, then you can even use the bread as a shituf mavui. Amar le Abaye le Rabba. So Abaye tells Rabba, Tanya de Mesaya lach. I have a proof to you. What was Rabba saying? Rabba is the one that answered the question. Right? He was the one that said you can put shituf in the chatzer. So the Gemara says, Eruv Hatzerot Behatzer. We have a statement. It says you could put Eruv Hatzerot in the Hatzer, Veshetufe Mevuot Bemavui. Oh, both these statements are problematic. So the Gemara says, Davina, and we analyze, Eruv Hatzerot Behatzer. Could you put Eruv Hatzerot in the Hatzer? Ve'antenan, Hanotin Terubo Bebe Tsa'ar Aksadra Matpezet, Enu Eruv. Because it's not a place of residence. So to the Hatzer, no one lives in the Hatser. So, Ema Erube Hatserot Bebayit Shebehatser. Okay, so Tzalchat means the house in the Hatser. Shetufe Mevuot, the Hatser Shebamavui. And when it says that you put the Shetuf in the Mavui, it means in the Hatser that is in the Mavui. Proof to what Rava said. Comes the Yemanan Kenez, the Biyuda Omer, Im Yesham Tefisat Yad. So let's say the person that rents out his house leaves some rights, meaning he could put his equipment there, so therefore it's considered that he's still there, so the new dweller is not osir on the rest of the b'nei chatzer. So comes the Gemara and says, Hechi damet tefisat yad. Give me some example where a person rents out his properties, but he still keeps a rights. So the Gemara says, Kegon chasero shel. We're going to read it according to the text here. Ben Bunyas. Okay, like the Hatser of Ben Bunyas. And the Bet, right, we're reading Hagaot Abah. Hagaot Abah says Hatzero shel Ben Bunyas. Now, who was Ben Bunyas? He was a wealthy guy, that she says. Ashir Hava. I'm looking at the bottom line. Umashil batim sheba Hatser la'achirim. He would own a lot of houses. And he would rent them out to, or lend them out to other people. And he had his goods in every house. He didn't move out. He left his stuff in every house. A wealthy guy has a lot of stuff. So he rents out his house, but he leaves his goods in all the houses. So what happened? So when Bunyas once came in front of the Benu HaKadosh, Amar lehu panu makom leben me'amane. So the B respected him because he was very wealthy. So, Rabotai, make room for the man that's worth 100 maneh. 100 maneh is 1,000 zoos. So the B was saying, oh, Ben Bunyas came over here. We have to give him kavod. Therefore, make room for the wealthy man. So comes the Gemara, this was not falls flat. We'll see exactly why Rabbi respected him. So the Gemara says, "Atain Shaharina." Now another guy came to visit Rabbi. Amar lehu. So he told them, "Panu makom leben mataymane." So this guy's even richer than Ben Bunyas. Give makom hashuv for the guy that's worth 200 money. So comes the Gemara. Look at the top of Rashi. Kilomar makom hashuv yoter ben gedolim lefi kevod ashra. He's rich. You got to give him a better seat. Amal lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yoseh. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yoseh tells me Rabbi Abiv Shelzeh, the father of Bunyas, yesh lo elef sefinot bayam. He has 100 boats. He has a fleet of boats. Vuchnegdan elef ayarot beyabasha, and he has 1,000 cities on dry land. Before she pointed, this is a guzma, of course. It's a way of saying that he's excessively wealthy. So Gemara says, Amar lo. So Rabbi tells him, Lichtagia etzel Abiv, when he comes next to his father, or when you get to his father, when you see his father, Emor lo, tell him, Al tishagreu bekelim halalu lefanai. Which means Bunyas obviously was not wearing the clothes that befit his wealth. So when they told Rabbi that his father's a very, very wealthy guy, so when you see his father, tell him you're not giving his son enough money, maybe because look at the clothes he's wearing. You should dress according to his oshed. So therefore he says, Emor lo al tishagnu bekelim alal lefanai. Don't send his son to me. You know, we're wearing these type of clothes over here. He's wealthier than that. She says, bekelim alalu she'em ne'ashir kol kach. He threw me off. I thought he's a 100 guy. And I realize he's a big guy. He's fooling me with these clothes on. He's a real rich guy. So the Gemara says, what's Rabbi's thing of respecting all these wealthy people? But it says, Rabbi mechabed ashirim. Rabbi used to give respect to the rich people. Rabbi Akiva mechabed ashirim. And Rabbi Akiva used to go out of his way, used to give extra kavod to the wealthy man. Why? Kikadish Rabba Bar Mori. Yeshev olam lifnei Elohim. Hesed ve'emet man yinseruhu. The Gemara is explaining this pasuk as follows. Yeshev olam nefteh Elohim. The world will be established in front of God. Meaning the world will have kiyum. In what zechut does the world have kiyum? Existence. Because hesed ve'emet man yinseruhu. Because of those people that do hesed, that do kindness, meaning they give charity, man is melashon mezonot, that they give mizonot to people food that need it. So the Gemara explains it. Imata yeshev olam nefnei Elohim. When will the world be settled in front of God? Bizman shehesed ve'emet man and mizonot yinsiru, the people will keep. Look at Rashi, third line. Imata yeshev olam bizman sheyesh bo ashirim. When there's going to be wealthy people, shegomlim, when they do hesed, umzemenim mezonot la'aniim, and they give mezonot to the poor people. Vehem yinsiru, they protect the world. So therefore, the Benu HaKadosh went out of his way to protect which type of ashirim? Ashirim that were charitable. Ashirim that used to give tzedakah. So in order to inspire others as well. And I think the Maharal explains over here that Rabbi was also wealthy. So, but he was also the greatest Tamina Kam of his generation. But Rabbi was a great anav. The Gemara Sotah says, "Meshemet Rabbi matla anava." He was from the most humble rabbis. So Rabbi made a decoy in order that the people won't respect him for his Torah. He didn't want to take any kavod for Torah. He didn't want to enjoy his Torah. So therefore, Rabbi established a policy: you respect people for their wealth. So therefore, now the respect that they're going to give Rabbi, you respect me for my wealth, you're not respecting me for my Torah. So he established a new standard, you got to respect wealth. So therefore, it was a decoy, so they won't respect him, so they won't enjoy kavod from his Torah. And I respect him for his wealth. But also, as we explained in the Gemara, it was because of the inyan of tzedakah. Rabba bar Barchana Amar, now we go back to discuss what type of kelim do you have to leave by the house that you rent out to still be considered yours, where the renter is not osir on the Bnei Hatzir. So the Gemara says, Kegon Yated Shel Mahresha. Yated Shel Mahresha is like the what do you call it?
Peg of the plow.
The peg of the plow. It's like a blade that they they put on the side of the animal, and it makes the furrow in the ground. It's like a blade. Yeah, it's a hashuv item. So Rashi says, Yatitsu Maharashai gives you the name for that. Have your tefisa yad. That's already considered tefisa yad. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Talit Shemuel, Davar anital b'shabbat osir. Aha. He says like this. Something that's non-mukseh is osir. Davar she'enu nital, however, an item that is mukseh b'shabbat, enu osir. So let's go to the logic. Logic is very simple. Something that's a non-mukseh item, let's say the owner leaves a non-mukseh item there. So therefore, the renter is not going to osir. Why? Because since the renter, not the renter, the owner, the balabai, it's non-mukseh, he can take it out on Shabbat. Because it's non-mukseh. The owner can take it out on Shabbat, or the renter can get rid of it, for that matter. Right? The renter can say, and obviously we're talking about a case where it's not stipulated so clear, so therefore, the renter could say, what is this stuff here? Get rid of it. So if you can get rid of it, so therefore it's not considered that the owner has tefisat yad. But however, it's a mukseh item nobody can move. So therefore it's considered there. It's there for the duration. And therefore it can be, not now, that's not osir, therefore it's mutar now, because the Baal HaBayit is considered that he is still there. Rashi, Davar nital b'shabbat, eno tefisat yad. Right? A non-mukseh item is not considered tefisat yad, and therefore ve'oser. Why? Diba'esh shakil v'shadel l'debray. Because the renter can take the item and throw it out. Again, you have to say where there was an express, a condition that told him, I want my goods there, and you got to stay there. If he clearly expressly said it, then I don't care, even if it's a non-mukseh item, the guy has no rights to throw the stuff out. What's that? I mean, if he left his stuff there. Now, he left his stuff there. If you didn't say clearly, the guy could throw it out because it's not mukseh, so he's going to be osir. However, the Gemara says, Tanya, I mean, Achim, I'm right to support this. Yesh lo tebel. If let's say he leaves tebel in the house, what's tebel? Fruits that they did not take to the what ma'aslot. Tebel is mukseh. Yesh lo achashit. Well, let's say he has a piece of metal boards. V'chol davar she'enu nital b'shabbat. For that matter, any item that is mukseh, eno osir. Then the renter is not osir. The Baal HaBayit still has tefisat yad, and the renter cannot get rid of these items because they are mukseh. Comes the new Mishnah and says, "Meniach beto." New case. You have members of a chatzer. One of the members of the chatzer did not join in the eruv, but what did he do? He left before Shabbat. So he's not there for Shabbat. So the she'ela is, by his absentee, does that now make him, not there, so to speak, and therefore he doesn't ruin the chatzer? So the Gemara says, "Ameniach beto ve'olech lishbot bi'ir acheret." Not only did he leave, but he went to another city. He went far away. Echad nochri v'echad Yisrael. Whether it's a goy or whether it's a yisrael. Now a goy, he didn't rent his property before Shabbat. Like we learned earlier in the Masechet. The only way to get the goy out of the chatzer is renting his property. He didn't do that. Hare ze osir. Doesn't matter. Even the guy's away, still osir on the eruv, on the chatzer, the vrede be meir. Logic being, Rashi says, didira belo ba'alim shemedira. A dwelling, even without dwellers, is considered a resident. And therefore, even though he left, the house is osir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, in osir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Guy left for another city, in osir. If she's still have shemei dira, to be considered dira, you got to have people that are there. Rabbi Yosef omer, nochri osir. Yisrael, in osir. What's the logic? Nochri osir. Exactly. A nochri travels on Shabbat. So even though he left, it's shayak that what? He'll come back. A Jew, usually when he leaves for Shabbat, especially in this case where he went to another city, he's not coming back on Shabbat. So therefore, he's not it's not a problem. Dashi. And this is the Biyoseh Shita. Dashi, the Biyoseh Namis fin le lav shemedira. The Biyoseh also is really, if there's no people there, it's not a dira. Oh, so why is the goy osir? Miyunokhri osir shemme yevo hayom. Because she worried that he might come back. Now, here Gemara explains. Yisrael in osir she'en derech Yisrael labo b'shabbat. And the right reason for the Yisrael not being Osir, because once he leaves, he's not Osir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon is the more lenient over here. He says, Afilu niyah beto ba'alach lishbot etzil bito be'ota ha'ir. Ene Osir, shekevar esiyah melibo. Rabbi Shimon says, forget about a Jew having to leave the city. Till now we're always talking about what? That you leave the city. He's saying even if he doesn't leave the city. Even if he's in the same city, just went to his daughter's house for Shabbat, finished. Once already he left, we assume that he's not coming back, and therefore you're okay. But the Eruv is not Osir. Rashi, yeah, what does it mean? Hesiyah dato. Hesiyah dirat bito milibbo. Meaning it's in his mind, is off his dirah. Which is obviously the Mishwan holds that dirah below ba'alim, lo sheme dirah. But the Hiddush is even closer. He doesn't have to be in another city. Even did you come right back? He's in the same city as my daughter's house for Shabbat. Doesn't matter. He's not there. It is mutar. He's not osir. Well, go check in. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav, halakha, can Rabbi Shimon? The halakha follows this leading opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Actually, it's not. It's a leading opinion. In osir, once he's not there. Even if he's in a close place. So give us a hadush. Vedavka bito. Why do you give that example to Bishimon? Davka if he goes to his daughter for Shabbat. So the give us aval beno lo. But if he goes to his son for Shabbat, no. You know why? Because he fights with his daughter-in-law. Which, that's the give us as she explains. Which means when a guy goes to his daughter, so his daughter, he has a son-in-law. So when the person gets into a fight with his son-in-law, so a man usually able to reconcile very easily. So he's not going to leave for Shabbat. But when a guy goes to his son's house, now he gets into a fight with his daughter-in-law. Now the ladies are very, very sensitive. Now once you get the only way to reconcile, you got to leave. Finished. It's very hard for them to, it's very hard to reconcile. So therefore, if a guy goes to his son for Shabbat, he's all safe because he's coming home. Because he's going to fight with the daughter-in-law. And the Gemara says, the Amri Inchip. We have a principle, a klal. Nabah bach kalba. If a dog barks to you, a dog is a male, ul, go in, it's okay. You can reconcile with a male dog. Nabach bach gurieta. But if the female dog barks at you, pook, finished, you gotta leave. They're too sensitive, there's no way you can reconcile. So look at Rashi. Vedavka, right. Vedavka bito, Rashi says. De'avid inish de dayir etzel hatano. A person could live by his son-in-law. Aval beno, but to live by his son, in Adam, Masiyah dato mebeto, ladur, he didn't take his mind off his house. Why? Etzel kalato, shemet titkotet v'yetzeh. Because you're worried that he might get into a fight with her, and have to go home. Kalba zachar, kegon hatano. Gurieta nekeva, kegon kalato. Comes the new Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Bor sheben shte hatzerot. Okay, now we go back to the end of the perek. We talk about the issue of a bor, a well of water, trying to draw from it over the Shabbat. So the Mishnah says, bor sheben shte hatzerot. You have a pit that is in between two hatzerot. You want to look at picture number 291. Already you start to get a clearer feel of what we're talking about. Okay, you have two hatzerot. And you got a board in the middle. I pay no attention to the walls yet. Just get the picture of a board. Now, the issue is what? It's a shared property. Now, the board is in between both of them. So now, when you didn't make Eruv, so now, each one made Eruv, let's say, for themselves, but this is a shared property, the board. So the question is, how do you draw from it on Shabbat? So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, En mele'in memenu b'Shabbat. Okay? You cannot min b'male'. On Shabbat, unless elaim ken asu lo mechitza gavoa asra tefachim. You gotta make a wall. You gotta make a wall, and the wall's gotta be at least 10 tefachim. Where do you make the wall? Ben milmata, whether you make the wall below. The Gemara is gonna explain, what does below mean? In the pit. Where in the pit exactly? The Gemara will explain. Ben mitoch ogno. Now, mitoch ogno would be even if you make it at the lip of the not like you see in the picture over here. You don't see a lip over here wall. If you're making it at the lip, which means it's not even in the water itself, that she says, ben mitoch ogno, afal pi she'enu nogad b'mayim. Even though it's not even touching the water, kalu she'kidu hakamim b'mayim. The rabbis gave a leniency over here, ve'amar be'gud ahit le'mechitsta. We assume that we can imagine that the wall goes down, which means, according to this, it's got to be in the airspace of the bor itself. It doesn't have to be in the water. As long as you're in the airspace of the bor, right? Now, that's really a mechitza teluya. Normally, we say a mechitza teluya is not a mechitza. But for water, because since it's a necessity item to drink, so therefore, even though it's in the bor, but it's at the lip, it did not yet, it's not touching the water, we consider as if the wall goes all the way down, and therefore it's considered a separation between two sides. Now, obviously, it's not a separation, because the water that you're getting is from both sides. You know, the water is going back and forth. It's an imaginary wall. But you know what? It's enough of a heker, right? For the appearance, it's enough that you separated it, and therefore it is okay. That's a kula. Now, the B, the Banch on Gavriel Omer, Banch on Gavriel says, Bet Shammai Omri Milmata. Bet Shammai holds, gotta put it Lemata. We'll see what Lemata means. Ubet Elel Omri Milmala. We'll see what that means in the Gemara as well. Amar Biuda, Lote Mechitza Gedola Menakotel Shebenehem. Which means, he comes along and says, the Mechitza of the Chatzer itself, that's not gonna be more mahmir, or the mechitza of the water is not going to be more mahmir than the mechitza of the hatzer. Meaning, if you have a regular mechitza of the hatzer, which is over the bor, you have a wall that's separated to hatzerot, finished. You don't have to put anything in the bor, not the mata, not in the organ, not anything. The mechitza is a regular, like you see the picture over here. You have a regular mechitza across, that mechitza that you have across over the bor, that's going to be enough to separate the bor itself. Meaning, we're not going to make the bor, the wall of the pit, more mahmir than an actual wall that separates the chatzerot themselves. So the Bishwan again is being lenient there. He's telling you can rely on the regular wall, you're not going to make a separate, who's that, the Biyuda? I'm sorry, the Biyuda, this is correct. So comes the Gemara and says the following. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, now we're going to enjoy the pictures over here just so we can go quickly. We'll start with 292, okay? Amar Avuna, Lemata. What does the word Lemata mean? Which means, we're trying to explain it in the Machloket, Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai said it's got to be Lemata, right? And Bet Hillel, we're saying it's got to be, it can even be Lemala. What is Lemata? What is Lemala? So the Gemara says, name of Avuna, Lemata, Lemata Mamash. Meaning it's got to be down in the actual vor itself. Now, you see that? Which means it's in the, what do you call it, the halal. It's in the halal of the pit, in the airspace of the pit, all the way down by the water itself. Right? It's touching the water. It's right at the water level. Okay? Lemata, lemata mamash. Meaning, don't think lemata means at the beginning of the vor. Oh, it's got to be down there. At the water. Now, lema'ala, lema'ala mamash. And when Bittler says lema'ala, it means mamash lema'ala. Doesn't have to touch the water. Which means so long as you're in the halal, in the airspace of the pit itself, you're okay. As you see in picture, 290. Bittler, Bet Shammai. 292. Right? Bittler on the right, Bet Shammai on the left. Veze, veze, bebor. But everybody agrees it's got to be in the bor. Question is how low? Yeah? Now, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. That's not the Machloket. Machloket is 293. Lemata, lemata min hamayim. Which means, according to Bet Shammai, lemata means, not lemata in the bor, it's got the bottom of the water. You got to go to the bottom of the pit. It's got to go to the bottom. Lemala, lemala min hamayim. And Bet Hillel is going to hold, it's got to go down to the water itself. Okay, so that's the machloket. So, doesn't have to reach the bottom of the water. It's got to reach the top of the water, according to Bet Hillel. Bet Hillel, the whole thing's above the water. Bet Shammai, it's in the water. It's touching the bottom. It's touching the submerged. It's on the bottom. So far, it's not sticking out. At this point, that's why we're understanding it. Now we'll see. We'll see the other pictures now. Amar le Rabba bar Rav Hanan le Abaye. Hada Amar Rav Yehuda le mata min amayim. The way you explained it, that when le mata means what? All the way at the bottom, le mata, touching the floor. Mai shena le mata mamash. Why'd you gotta go to the bottom? De lo. Why did you say le mata mamash is no good? Meaning, how come you didn't learn like Rav Huna, that we don't let you just put it at the top of the water? Meaning lemata just means lemata, into the pit at the top. Why did you like that? Because lemata mamash delo, the reason why it's no good, de aribe maya, because the water is still mixed. Of course, if according to Rav Huna, if you put the wall on top of the waters, what does that do for you? Bottom line, the waters are still mixing on both sides. So therefore, just like that's no good, the waters are still mixing above it. Above the wall, it's still mixing. So what did you gain? What did you gain by saying, oh, lemata means lemata and namayim? The waters are not mixing? True, where the wall is, the waters can't mix. But on top of the wall, they mix. So therefore, you're using water from the other side. So therefore, what did you gain? So the Gemara says, Amale, lo shamiyala chad amar av Yehuda amar rav, umatuba mishum Rabbi Chaya. Well, you didn't hear what they said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, and they bring it in the name of Rabbi Chaya. Sarik shir'u rashin shel kanin lema'la min amayim. Tefah. Which means when we said it's got to touch the bottom, yeah, it's got to touch the bottom, and at least a tefah of the wall's got to be above the water. So therefore, no water is actually mixing. If you look at the picture, number 294, you see what Bet Shammai's got to do. I mean, it's got to go to the bottom, and a tefah of it's got to go above the water. So therefore, it's a real... Right, you split the water. It's a real separation. Right? You can't get the water. No. You're going on this side, you're going on that side. Everybody's going on their side. It's going across, let's say. Which means it's a plank that's going across. You separate. It's like a wall. It's like a wall. And therefore, the waters, according to this, are not going to mix. That's the point of it. It's not going to mix. So comes Gemara and says, Vitu. We're going to see it soon. Vitu. Furthermore, had the Amar of Yehuda. Oh, now we're going to ask on Rav Yehuda. Lema'la min amayim. Right? What did Betelel hold? Lema'la min amayim means it's got to go down in the pit, but it's got to be above the water. Right? Lema'la min amayim. That's Betelel Shita. Right? So Gemara says, Maishina lema'la mamash delo. Why didn't he hold like Rav Huna that says you could just put it at the lip? Why wasn't that good? Well, Da'ari b'maya. Because the water is mixed. Well, he says, Lema'la min amayim nameh ha'ari b'maya. Well, what do you think? When you're going to put the Betelel, when you put it at the top of the water itself, it's also going to mix. So what are you gaining? So the Gemara says, no. Amale, lo shemi lachad etani Yaakov karhina'a. Well, you didn't hear what Yaakov karhina'a said? Sarishi yishkara shekanim b'mayim tefah. According to Betelel, it's got to go into the water, at least a tefah, like you see in picture number 294, according to Betelel. Now, what does that help you? Well, the waters are mixing. Heker. No, heker. Which means you're right, Betel doesn't care if the waters are mixing. The point is, you need a heker that you made a nechitza. Now you're right, if it doesn't go into the water, there's no heker. So it's got to go in, once you have a tefah into the water, according to the Shita, it is, okay, so comes out the mahloket between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda is 292 and 294. Okay, so that's the way we fix the Rav Yehuda Shita. Okay, so comes the Gemara and says, "Velaha de Amar Rav Yehuda." Oh, so now we say, but according to what Rav Yehuda taught us, Korah Arba. You have a Korah, which is a beam, let's say, and it's Gemara should say Arba'a. Arba'a meaning it is four tefachim wide. Okay, Materet Bechurba. So it is matir a hurba. Now, what is a hurba? Hurba is, let's say, a dilapidated ruin. Okay? So now you put a korah across, let's say, the top. So what happens is, like this, we consider the ends of the Korah as if they are coming down. So therefore, when they come down, it's a good ahit, and the walls come down, so it's as if you have a separate dwelling in that Khurbah. So you're allowed to carry under that beam. That beam is considered as if it has walls that are coming down. Therefore, in a Khurbah, which is when you have no walls, when you put this beam on top, which is fortified Chaim, you can carry in that area. Let's read the bottom of that sheet. Korah Dalet, Materet Bechurbah. Korah HaTechurbah Mechumah Lechumah. That's going from wall to wall. Bechurbah, cutting across. Kederech Khurbot HaNoflot. Okay, Khurbah, it's the top of this, it's falling down. V'nish'arim Bem Korot. You just have beams. Right, so you have beams on top to put this Korah on. That's what he's trying to tell you. It's not a full Khurbah, we're going to hang the Korah. V'yesh berhaba arba'ah. You have four width. V'mutelet al ruchba. So it's put it on the width side. I mean, you have the width. It's not on the narrow side. It's on the width side. Mutalet tatil tahteha. You can carry underneath it. Damar shne chodim yordin v'sotmin. We say the two corners, they go down and form imaginary walls. V'savala k'rabi Yishmael b'rabi Yosef. This rabbi holds, Rabbi Yehuda was a k'rabi Yishmael that says, damar mechitzat tiluya materet. Not only in water. Which means normally we say mechitza tiluya, a suspended mechitza is not a mechitza. We said in water we will mekel. He holds even on dry land, mechitza tiluya is a mechitza. Velet l'cheta kevateh. Halakha doesn't follow this opinion, incidentally, that she says, v'haki nakat arba'a, dechi amat chodin yodim v'sutmin yeh ben halal mechitzot arba'a. The mechitzot asher lefachot mechalal arba'a in a mechitza. Why does that have to be four? Because to be a wall, it's got to enclose an area at least of 4x4 tefahim. So that's why we said the plank has to be at least four tefahim to make your walls, an area that's four tefahim. Oh, good. But we go further. So Rabbi Yehuda's first statement was what? By Khurbah. The Rabbi Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Abu. And furthermore, Rabbi Nachman said the name of Rabba Bar Abu. Khurah Arba'a. You have again a plank or a beam. Also four. But what he is, he clearly says arba'a. It's four tefachim wide. Materet b'mayim. It's matir in the water. Now here you have the picture over here. All right, you have your how do you call it? Your bor. All right, your pit. So you put this beam. Again, the same thing. It's between two hatzerot. Yeah. All right, so you have your friend on one side. You got the other guy on the other side. You just stick this across. Okay, it's four tefachim wide. And therefore, you can, the guy on one side, you're allowed to you're allowed to draw water on your respective side. I mean, this is considered already a wall. We consider it as if the wall goes down. In your art school, you have a better picture of that. If you see the circular pit, right? The cylindrical pit. You have the beam on top of it, trying the middle over there. So we consider the imaginary walls that, go down from it. And therefore, each guy can draw water on his respective side. All right. So the Gemara says like this. I'm reading on the top line. So the Gemara says, how is that possible? So what are you talking about? Even if you want to tell me there's an imaginary wall that splits it. But the dli, the bucket, when you stick a bucket in, it sways to the other side, as you see in picture 295. Mm-hmm. The guy on the right side, let's say, puts his bucket down, but it's going to go to the left side, so to speak. So therefore, what is these imaginary walls going to help you? You're still taking water from the other side. So the Gemara says, Kim li'ulir abbanan. And the rabbis have a tradition. A bucket doesn't sway more than four tefachim. So we're not worried about it. Now the Korah itself is four tefachim. So we're not worried that it's going to sway beyond the Korah. So the Gemara says, fine, beyond the Korah it's not going to sway. Tahata Korah miya ha'arive maya. But under the Korah itself, which is a shared area, the waters are going to mix. So the Gemara says, oh, so we have a problem. So what's the hitan then? Ela mishum tekalu shekilu hakamim b'mayim. You have to say, what the hitan over here is? The hitan over here is that really it's a mechitza teluya, and really it shouldn't work. But you know what? Special kula that hakamim gave us by water to say that a mechitza teluya will work. even though technically you're right, you have inherent problems. Look at that she. Now again, what's the question? Who made this statement? Go slow. Who made this statement? Rav Yehuda. What's the problem with Rabbi Yehuda? As she, third line, Aribe Maya, that Rabbi Yehuda if sick mechitza ba'e, which is according to Bet Hillel, the way Rabbi Yehuda learned, it's got to be in the water a little. According to Bet Hillel, picture number 294, if you remember, Yael, at least it's got to look like it's splitting. Here, it's nothing, it's on top. It doesn't even look like it's splitting. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say that a korah of Fort Tefachim, you're okay? How can it be okay? It's not in the water, bichlal. It's not even look like a ker. So the Gemara says, you're right. Kal shekilu hachamim b'maim rashi. Third line. Veleta l'Rabbi Yehuda ela kederavuna, which means this ela over here is actually rejecting Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Which means you're right, Rabbi Yehuda's out. Which means from the fact that you see now that we're allowing you even to put a plank, so you see you don't have to have it in the water itself. So that which Rabbi Yehuda said above, we're knocking that out. You don't have to be in the water. Ela what? It's enough just to have a mechitza tiluya, like Rav Huna. Because if you remember, what was Rav Huna? Kot Rav Huna, even if it's above the water, and it's not in the water itself, mechitza tiluya, we consider as if it goes all the way down, and therefore this is the way of the Gemara saying that we follow Rav Huna's opinion. We do not follow the way Rabbi Yehuda learned above. Look at that she now. Doesn't have to be four. Not before. Not before. Veleta Rav Yehuda, ela kederav Huna, debetele lemaala mamash ka'amar. Hachi garsina, ela kalu. Ela she had to get a sa ela. Ela means you're rejecting the previous opinion of Rav Yehuda, and you're following the opinion of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is the bottom line. That's the way we learn it. Mechitzat tuliyah is a kulan mayim. How do we know we have this kula? Kedavaha mine Rabbi Tabla mirav. Like Rabbi Tabla es rav. Mechitzat tuliyah Maushe tatir bechurba. He asked the question like this. You have a mechitzat teluya, a wall that is suspended. Does a suspended wall matir a churba? Churba is a dilapidated building. Okay? Which means you want to carry in the churba. So I didn't put a wall all the way down. I put a, you know, a wall that goes part of the way down. Could a mechitzat teluya work in a churba? Amar le en mechitzat teluya matirit ela b'mayim. I'm sorry, only in water. Kalu shekilu hakamim b'mayim. Here's a kula that hakamim only gave by water. Amar Yehuda, lo te mechitzah. Okay, back to the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah teach us? That a regular wall that goes across the haser, that's what's up the board. Doesn't have to go in the board, doesn't go anywhere. Just a regular wall going across, that already separates the board. Amar Rabbah bar Hanan bar Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Bishitat Rabbi Yosef Amla. Oh, this Rabbi Yehuda, that sort of wall that's going over the board, he's really following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. What's Rabbi Yosef's opinion? De Amar Mechitzat Teluya Materet Afilu Biyabasha. He says that a Mechitzat Teluya even works by Yabasha, which means, Rashi, even on dry land. So what's that got to do with us? Rashi, Hilkach, Bemaim Nameh, that's why, according to the Biyuda, is the only opinion that we've seen until now, the wall does not have to be in the board at all. Mm-hmm. You don't have to look like you're fixing a board. Mm-hmm. The only reason why you think I have to have it in the board itself, because it has to be mechitzat tulia, kalu shekitu hachemim memayim. According to the Biyuda, where's the wall? It's going above. Right. It's going right across the top of the board. What do you mean? How could you make a mechitzat teluya for a board and it's on the dry land? It didn't even get into the board. Because he holds you can make a mechitzat teluya even on dry land. Now, do we have an opinion that says you can make a mechitzat teluya on dry land? Yeah. Who's that? Rabbi Yosef. Where do you see Rabbi Yosef's opinion that mechitzat teluya works on dry land? So the Gemara says, Masechet Sukkah. Ditnan, Hamshalshel defanot. That was Mishalshel. You're weaving. You're weaving walls of the Sukkah. Okay? Like you have, let's say, palms. Right? You know, you weave them in and out. Now, the Gemara says, if you're going milma'la limata, You started from the top of the schach, and you're weaving the walls downward. Bizman shegivot min ha'aretz gimel tefachim pesula. If you left three tefachim space, right, off the floor, pesul, it's not a wall. Why? Because if you look at the picture, you see, because the goats can walk through it. Gedayim bo'kimbo. Exactly. It needs to be considered a wall. It's got to stop the animals from going in. More than three tefachim, they can walk right through. Mimata lemala. Now let's say you're making the wall from the bottom to the top. You're going upward. That's picture 297. You're going upward. Im givot yu tefachim. If it's at least 10 tefachim high, the wall, keshera. Okay. So what? Because it's a wall on the bottom. 10 tefachim. Okay, so you have no. That is the opinion of Tana Kama. And now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Keshem shemilemata lemala asara, kach milemala lemata asara. Rabbi Yosef, doesn't matter. I don't care if it's more than three off the ground. It's mechitza teluya. Mechitza teluya beyabasha, shem mechitza. Suspended, it's okay. So you see the Rabbi Yosef's opinion is what? Is Mekel. So therefore we want to say, Rabbi Yudah Val Mishnah, that said, you could put the wall across the top of the board, he must hold like Rabbi Yosef by Sukkah, that says what? Mechitza Teluya B'Yabasha Sheme Mechitza. So the Gemara says, no, do not connect the two Shitot. Velahi. Now this Velahi is both ways. Lo Rabbi Yudah Sabala Ke Rabbi Yosef, Velo Rabbi Yosef Sabala Ke Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't hold like him, he doesn't hold like him. Meaning, Rabbi Yosef said his deen by Sukkah, but he'll argue by Eruv. And Rabbi Yehuda will say his deen by Eruv, but he argues by Sukkah.
Meaning the cases are not
related. Right, the cases are not related. How? What it says. Rabbi Yehuda lo Sabala Ke Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree by Sukkah. You know why? Ad kam lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda ela be'eruv behasurad Rabbanan. Yeah, when was he lenient with Mechitza Teluya? But in a case of Eruv Hasenot, Eruv Hasenot, the whole deen is the Rabbanan. Minat Torah, this is considered Shuti Yachid. Minat Torah, they can carry in the board, they can draw from the board without anything. So we have a Isud Rabbanan over here. All right, make a Mechitza Teluya. It's okay. Ava Sukkah Deoraita, no. Sukkah, it's a deen Deoraita to the Sukkah. We're not going to be lenient with Mechitzot Teluya. So don't tell me to be Yehuda, how to be Yosef. He's not Mekel by Sukkah. Now we'll go the other way. ולא רבי יוסף סבא לה כרבי יהודה. עד כאן לא כאמר רבי יוסף, אלא בסוכה. When did רבי יוסף be lenient? The same חיצה תלויה goes all the way down, was by סוכה. The איסור עשהו. It's only איסור עשה. If you don't sit in the סוכה, what's the transgression?
You didn't do an
עשה. Okay, you didn't fulfill, you מבטל מצוות עשה. All right, מבטל מצוות עשה, it's a serious thing, but okay, it's not Shabbat. However, about Shabbat, the Isur Sekilahu, no, Shabbat, which means, not in this specific case, obviously, because this case is the only Isur, but Danyan, the Shabbat in principle is more Hamur than Sukkah. Shabbat has a Sekilah punishment attached to it. So therefore, in any Shabbat law, we're going to be more Mahmir than Sukkah, which is an Aseh. So just because I was leaning with Mechitzat Teluya by Sukkah, right, to say it is a Mechitzah, I'm not going to be leaning the laws of Shabbat to say it is. Why? Because Shabbat in principle is a Sekilah item. Sekilah is punishable by stoning, not in this specific case. Generally speaking, Shabbat has Sekilah. Therefore, I'm not going to say Mechitzat Teluya. Therefore, you have to actually put the Mechitzah in the board itself, like at least the opinion of Rav Huna, it's got to go into the board, and then we'll say the yeter that we said. Now it's got to be in the mind. Kal shekilu b'mayim, but not on yabasha. Now, Allah Shabbat isur sekilahu lo. We're not saying anymore Rav Yehuda. We hold like Rav Huna, that it's just got to be in the lip. But that's a kal shekilu b'mayim. That's a kal shekilu b'mayim. That's different Rabbi Yehuda. It's different Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yehuda. Get the name straight. Amar, now, Gemara says, V'im tomar, if you can ask a question, by lo amar. Now, V'im tomar, if you can ask a question, oto ma'aseh shena'aseh besipuri. What do you mean? There was a famous story in Sipuri where Rabbi Yosef, incidentally, was the chief rabbi of Sipuri.
Al pi mina asa. Who was matir the story in Sipori? Who gave the leniency over there? Lo al pi Rabbi Yose. It must have been Rabbi Yose. Rabbi Yose was the rabbi there, and he was matir. Obviously, we must be talking about a case where there was a mechitzat tiluya bayabasha, right? And in the hatzer. Well, you're telling me that Hatzer Rabbi Yose has a hold of it. What do you mean? There wasn't there a case in Sipori where they were mekel, and obviously it had to be Rabbi Yose. So the Gemara said, no. It was not Rabbi Yose. Who was it? Who was that gimel there? Okay, Na'asa. Oh, the Alpi Rabbi Yose Na'asa. Wasn't it done Alpi Rabbi Yose? Gemara said, no. Ela Alpi Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yose Na'asa. Different rabbi. Okay, what was the story now? Dechiata Ravdimi Amar, and Ravdimi came and said, Pamahat Shakhu Velo Heviu Sefer Torah Mebe'od Yom. Says one time they forgot to bring the Sefer to the Bet Knesset, Mebe'od Yom, meaning it was Friday. They should have brought the Sefer Torah to the Bet Knesset on Friday. What happened? Okay, Shakhu. Right, they forgot. So what they do over here? So the Gemara says, Lemahar. So the next day, on Shabbat itself, Persu Sadim ala Amudim. They took some Amudim, what do you call it, poles, and they put a Sadin on the poles, and on the sides of the poles, like to make a curtain, a wall. Viviu Sefer Torah. So they made quasi walls over there to carry it across the Hatzer. You know, and then they made like a Reshut Yahid, the area. Vikar Ubo. They read. Now these Persu Sadin, they did not reach the floor. Okay? And what? It's Mechitzat Teluya. Vayabasha. In Sipori. We just said Rabbi Yose is not Mekel. The Gabe Shabbat. Yisus Sekila. Who was the Matir over there? That was Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yose. He was the one that held. Mechitzat Teluya, even the Avir is okay. So if they made these quasi walls to allow them to carry in the area that was forbidden. So comes the Gemara and says, Hold it. Are you allowed to make walls on Shabbat? Forget about now. Mechitzat Teluya. But they did it on Shabbat. So the Gemara asks, Gemara says, Well, is it permissible to go start making walls on Shabbat? Which means we know you're not allowed to make a temporary tent. And the rabbis also said that you cannot make the walls as well. So therefore, how do they do this? It says, they found already the walls were there. They didn't put the walls up, but they were mechitzot. Already that were there. So you know what? We'll bring the Sefer Torah
this way.
That derech. Says, so what do you mean? How can these walls be walls? The Mishmael says, okay. Mechitzot teluya mutar. So therefore, while Mishmael was mekel, Rabbi Yose was not. Okay. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Ve'amen.